Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're listening to Talking Metal Live. It's now hour three, if you're listening to this in podcast form. This special guest this hour, Ace Frehley.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Talking Metal. We'll be right back after these messages.
And guess who else is a special guest? John Astronomy showing up late. How are you?
I have arrived late for the first time ever at Talking Metal Live. I'm doing great. Sorry, guys. I, believe it or not, was in a class.
You were in a class?
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm actually doing a class tomorrow, editing class. What were you doing?
I was doing an advanced Photoshop class.
Ah, so. There you go. We are geeks.
Yeah.
So, Militia was here, kind of interviewing her a bit, and she actually helped out with the interview that BB Buell was doing.
Yeah, I'm bummed out that I missed BB, and I'm glad that I had a chance to see Militia before she left, and I'm also bummed out that I missed Chris Black. But I will definitely listen to it in podcast form and on the MarkStriegelRadio.net streaming site. So
.com,
anyway,
yeah. Cool. And
.com, sorry.
Send us an email at talkingmetal@yahoo.com. Check us out on Astronomy's Facebook page.
Yep.
My Twitter account, the Talking Metal Twitter account, actually, and that's just at Talking Metal on
guys,
Twitter.
Guys, I have an announcement, Mark. I haven't even told you.
Oh, what's that?
It's no big deal. I am doing a new website called Astronomy 2012.
Wow.
And
cool.
I'm bringing back, I'm not really bringing back anything, but I haven't updated the astronomy site in like 5 years or something. So I'm going to have it, some new updates on it. It's not going to be like a blog, like in the style of markstriegel.net, but it's just going to be if you want to see I've done in the
past.
You're
about to become a best-selling author.
Yeah, I know. So maybe I will add a blog page to it. But right now it's sort of just like an online resume. And if you guys want to go take a look at it, you can see it in progress because it doesn't all work yet, but it's actually online.
Cool. I will definitely check that out, and definitely psyched to talk to Ace in a little bit.
Yeah,
thanks
for
hooking that up. And let's talk about you. You've been out on the road with Ace, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's been going on?
Pretty much all summer I've been out with Ace here and there, and out on every one of Ace's events, but they haven't been, like 3 weeks in a row. It'll be like a week here, a week there. And then now Ace has got about a month worth of stuff going on. Everything from the book release, the No Regrets book release, to the No Regrets tour. And it's going to be great. It's a book tour and a rock and roll tour combined into one. And then some really exciting stuff going across the country. And then there is a week of dates in Wales and in England. And
are you going over there?
I'm still working that out yet, so
right.
I'm not
okay.
sure 100%,
right.
But it may happen. It's just great. I just came back from Worcester, Massachusetts, and I was in Boston twice in the interim, which was cool to be back in Boston for a little bit. Really funny thing happened. We were at a counter in a specific business, and Joe Biden was in town.
Joe Biden.
Yeah, Vice President Joe Biden.
And I heard of that guy.
Yeah, we were asked, Ace and I, if we were undercover agents with Joe Biden. Yeah. And Ace commented, well, if we were, we couldn't tell you.
Right.
So
there
that was
go.
A real cool thing. And then they kind of figured out who Ace was, and that was pretty funny. So,
right.
But we had a blast. And, you know, I have some heavy metal news. I was able to see Cavalera Conspiracy and some really cool bands. Because
how was that?
It was great. A guy came who worked with the band, and he had asked if he can get up front and come in and see Ace at his signing. And I said, absolutely. And then one of the guys from OTEP came to see Ace, Robert Englund, you know, Freddy Krueger came to see Ace. Gary Busey came over to see Ace, and, you know, a bunch of other people that were there, which was great. And but I had a blast because the Cavalera Conspiracy guys, you know, said that, you know, they invited us to the show, and we went. And then we unfortunately missed Devin Townsend. This is me and, like, some of the security guys that hang with Ace. And we went to the show, and I ran into a bunch of guys from Devin's band, and they all want to come on the show. And then I ran into the guys from Mushroom Head, who they, by the time the drummer from, one of the drummers from Mushroom Head came over to Ace's table, he had already split. And so I took his Elder record and, like, a Fraley's Comet record, and he had a picture of him as, like, an 8-year-old with an Ace cake, and I showed it to Ace, and Ace signed all his stuff, and then I delivered it back to him. So they were all happy about that. And what else happened? It was just a great time. And you know what the craziest thing is that Mushroom Head was great, and then, I mean, that was a given, but the craziest thing is the next night, Insane Clown Posse played at this place, and I missed them, but I got to go see it. They're called horrorcore. That's the genre of music that they play, which it's sort of like a rap kind of a thing. There are no musicians on stage. It's just like the two guys, and they have, like, all kind of extra people, reminiscent of a great New York group called the Hollywood Superstars.
Oh, yes.
A lot of people coming out. And but the nuttiest thing is that they've got, this is their stage. It's like an American flag, because the tour is called the American Psycho Tour. They got a big I, a C, and a P, and it's like a giant KISS sign, but just those three letters in red, white, and blue. And after the show, there might have been 1,000 2-liter bottles of Pepsi or some kind of soda just on the floor, and all they do is come out and spray the crowd with soda all night. And it just seems amazing. You got this big sign going, and they're crazy, and they got these clown people running around the stage, and it's just insane. You should have saw this venue after that show. It was nuts. And fans, you know, I read on Wikipedia when I was looking up horrorcore that, you know, it's not that popular of music. Let me tell you this. There were people lined up, like, around 3 blocks to get into this gig. So I don't know why Wikipedia says no one likes horrorcore, because tons of people.
Yeah, I recently heard an interview with those guys on the Adam Carolla podcast, and it was quite fascinating to hear their story. And definitely, I have a few of their CDs sitting on my shelf, but never really been that into them. But the whole thing they're doing, they did a song with Jack White recently, which I also think is brilliant. Wow. Here's this, like, critically acclaimed guy Jack White. Instead of doing a song with Bono or some jackass, he does a song with Insane Clown Posse, which is quite brilliant. I mean,
it's great.
In a stupid or goofy way, it's brilliant, but it is quite brilliant. And I tell you what, let's get into a quick song here. We'll come back and chat a little bit more and then get ready for the Ace interview.
Correct.
You mentioned the Hollywood Superstars, and this is currently on iTunes and Spotify. It is called It's Lovely in Los Angeles by the Hollywood Superstars, a.k.a. I Love L.A.
New York City, it's cold and it's damp, and all the people dress like monkeys. I like that. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimos. Okay. That town's a little too rugged for you and me, babe.
Oh yeah, we could do a song about our hometown, the city of angels. You've never been there, you know why we want to give back. Rolling down Go Highway with a big ass redhead at my side. Santa Ana winds blowing hot from the north before July. Roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the superstar chair, yeah, never let the music stop. Going right into, just can't ride it no more. From the highway to the byway, from the west side to the east side, everybody's very happy, 'cause the sun is shining all the time. tree. Look at that bitch over there, bitch, get down on your knees.
Look at these women, ain't nothing like them nowhere.
From the highway to the byway, from the west side to the east side, everybody very happy, cause the sun is shining all the time. Looks like another perfect day.
What you just heard was Hollywood Superstars, I Love L.A. on iTunes and Spotify. We are getting ready for our exclusive interview with Ace
Frehley. It's going to be great, guys.
Cool.
I love the Superstars, by the way.
Yeah, great stuff. Check those guys out online on iTunes, on YouTube, actually. YouTube.com/Hollywood Superstars, I believe. We'll have that link through today's show notes on TalkingMetal.com. This is Pain in the Neck by Ace.
You're a pain in the neck. can't go around screaming. You just better accept you're a pain in the neck. Pain in the neck.
And we're back with Talking Metal Live. And now we're going to go right to the phones because we've got Ace Frehley.
Ace. How you doing, Ace?
What's up?
Hey, thanks so much for coming on Talking Metal Live, Ace. And I just want to start out by telling you it's been an honor to work with you and especially an honor to work on No Regrets with you. Thank you, man. And I really appreciate it and I'll never forget it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Cool. So because, very good, Ace. Because I know pretty much all the answers to the questions that everybody wants to hear, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mark Striegel, my co-host, who's going to interview you, and then I'll come back after the interview.
Hey, Ace, how are you?
All right, son. Hey, what's up?
Thanks so much for calling in. John's been telling me about the book, and I am so excited to read it. He actually just showed us an advanced copy. It looks great, and it's just very exciting for a longtime Ace fan to know that your side of the story is going to be coming out. And then, this is a book about your entire life. It's not just about your time in KISS. Is that correct?
Correct. It's from the time I was a kid growing up in the Bronx, playing in bands prior to KISS, going into the audition with KISS, playing with KISS, leaving KISS, doing my own stuff, you know. Now, KISS was just a portion of my life. It was a big portion, but, you know, there's a lot of other pieces to the puzzle.
Absolutely. And is writing a book something you've wanted to do for a long time, or were you maybe approached by a book company and that, you know, kind of helped make your decision into writing this book?
Yeah, people have been after me for a while, several years, you know, to try to put a book together. And, you know, I've been a little reluctant, you know, I got sober 5 years ago and, you know, last year I just decided it was probably time, you know, to just get it all down, you know, on paper and, presented to the world.
And how did you go about remembering things from earlier in your life? Did you talk to old friends and hear their side of the story, or is this kind of just how you remember it?
I spoke to old bodyguards, co-workers, and, you know, family members. You know, anybody that was there at the time that could refresh my memory or, you know, make it sharper. And, you know, it helped. You know, it helped. I mean, obviously, I can't remember everything. So, you know, talking with old friends and coworkers, you know, was a, you know, big extra added attraction. It just made everything clearer, sharper, you know, and more on the money.
Cool. And you have a great new band who is out touring, and you have a bunch of tour dates coming up. I wanted to actually ask you about your band. Who are the current members of your band?
I have Anthony Esposito on bass, Scott Coogan on drums, and Todd Youth on guitar.
Cool. And let's talk about the individual members. Where did you first encounter Todd? How did he come to be a part of the band?
Well, Todd ended up replacing Derek Hawkins. You know, after the European tour, Derek decided to move on, and we need to find another guitar player, and my bass player, Anthony Esposito, told me that actually Todd was the original guy he wanted to get when we first assembled the band in 2007, but he wasn't available at that time, and it's funny how things finally worked their way around full circle.
Also, Anthony has now been playing with you for a while, and can you talk about where you first met Anthony and how you...
I met Anthony through a mutual friend, and Anthony helped. The whole thing kind of started. Ed Trunk was throwing a Halloween bash at the Hard Rock Cafe in Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
And he wanted me to play, and I didn't have a band. But at the time, I had started recording my album. And, you know, me and Anthony put our heads together and, you know, started auditioning guys, and, you know, it fell together really quickly.
Cool. Now, Anomaly's been out, I guess, for probably about 2 years.
About
now.
2 years.
2 years. It's fairly recent still, but any thoughts of doing new music or another album at some point?
Oh, sure. You know, I have a couple of, you know, several songs in the can that didn't make it on Anomaly that I've been doing some rewrites on. And, of course, there's some new material I've been working on as well. You know, and I'm also, you know, thinking about throwing together a live DVD, and there's also a lot of old tapes from the studio I had up in Connecticut, you know, in the 70s.
Wow.
That I haven't, you know, even pulled out in a long time. So, you know, we'll see what that, you know, what comes about, you know, the in spring of next year, hopefully.
Now, when you...
Something going.
Now, when you say old tapes, are you considering releasing maybe older songs, old recordings that you haven't released? Or are you going to revisit those tapes to maybe write, you know, continue writing?
I'm thinking about releasing some old jam sessions and, you know, songs that nobody's ever heard. And I haven't even heard in a long time. Like I said, I have over 100 reels of 2-inch tape, you know, from my studio in Connecticut that I had, you know, in the late 70s and early 80s. So that should prove to be a real interesting project. I don't know if I'm going to get it together, you know, for this next release, but there's a possibility I might do a multiple package, you know.
Wow, that sounds very exciting. And who, like you say, jam sessions, who were you jamming with on these tapes? Eric Carr? Or?
Eric is probably in a few of them. You know, the late Bobby Mayo. You know, he used to play with Peter Frampton, a couple of the guys from Alice Cooper's original band, Dennis Dunaway, and what was the drummer's name? Neil Smith. And I also worked on some tracks with Chris Kimsey, Rolling Stones producer, some stuff with Eddie Kramer. You know, there's also some stuff I worked on with Kiss's original sound mixer, Ed Solon.
Cool.
I mean, you know, yeah, there's unreleased stuff, solos that I did on, actually on, what was our least favorite album?
The Elder.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of my stuff was edited out of that record, but I have a lot of the original solos, so that may be something interesting to Kiss fans.
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot to choose from, so, you know, we'll see what happens. Once you know what I have to do, I have to bake the tapes and transfer them digitally, you know, to a hard drive. Because if I try to play them more than once or twice, I could lose, you know, the quality of the sound.
Ah, okay. Wow, so they actually bake the tapes, like in an oven or something? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they bake the tapes. And then when you get one good play out of them, and while you're playing it, you're transferring it digitally through Pro Tools into your computer. And then you have it, you know, for posterity, you know. Because, you know, if a tape is that old and, you know, you continue to play, it starts to shed. And then you lose sound quality.
Well, exciting stuff.
That's a procedure that has to be done, you know, very carefully.
Right. Ace, I wanted to mention that we were both very sad to hear about your friend passing recently, Eddie Bull. Is it pronounced Belendez? Is that?
Yeah, Belendez.
Yeah. And can you talk a little bit about Eddie and tell us, tell the Talking Metal listeners who he actually was?
Well, Eddie Belendez was, you know, one of our bodyguards, you know, for many years, you know, in the 70s. And actually, you know, he got fired several times, but me and Peter kept saving his job.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I talk about Eddie in the book. And there's some good stories. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great stories in the book that nobody's heard. And I'm really excited about the book being released November 1st, and I'm really curious to get feedback from everybody once they read it.
Hey, Ace, it's John. A guy already finished the book who got an advanced copy up at the Rock and Shock convention, and he loved it, and these reviews are going to start pouring into AceRidley.com.
Well, that's good news, you know. You know, I put my heart and soul into the book, and it took me twice as long as I had anticipated, but, you know, the end result is well worth the wait.
Cool. We can't wait to read it, and we're definitely going to have links in places where you can buy it on TalkingMetal.com. There's a lot of chatter on the internet that you were recently out to lunch with Gene Simmons. Is this true?
Yeah, me and Gene decided to have lunch. You know, I gave him a call, and, you know, we had lunch at the Beverly Hills Hotel in Los Angeles.
And was this...
Yeah, I read some of the comments. A lot of people are fantasizing this, that, and the other thing. But it was really just a friendly lunch, you know, to catch up. I really hadn't met Gene face-to-face and talked to them in depth on anything since I did the...
Probably that tour of Australia.
The VHP Rock Honors.
Oh, right, right, exactly.
So, pretty much, you know, I thought it was time to just catch up, and I wanted him to first of all see that I was clean and sober, because, you know, you hear rumors, and a lot of people think, well, yeah, people say this guy's clean and sober, but, you know, the only true way to really prove that is to, you know, meet somebody face to face and look in their eyes. And, you know, after our lunch, you know, he went on to say that, you know, he felt I was clean and sober, and, you know, he wished me luck. And I did the same for him.
Very good. And how about your good buddy Anton Figg, who's played so many great drum tracks for you through the years? When's the last time you've heard from him?
Oh, I probably heard from Anton about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. And we were just going over some stories in the book, and that reminds me, I got to send him an advanced copy.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, me and Anton, you know, became friends in 1978 when he formed on my first Kiss solo album. And we've been friends ever since, and he's performed on almost all my solo efforts except for one. We remain good friends until this day. And we've got some interesting stories in the book, too.
Excellent. How about Richie Scarlett? You heard from him recently?
I haven't heard from Richie. You know, Richie kind of went off on his own and doing his own thing, and I really just haven't kept abreast of it.
Cool. Well, Ace, thank you so much for checking in with us on Talking Metal. We really appreciate it. And if you could give us a Talking Metal ID saying your name and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Sure.
Go ahead,
Hi,
Ace.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Talking Metal. We'll be right back after these messages.
Excellent.
Perfect, Ace. Hey, Ace, thanks so much. And
okay, buddy.
We told all the listeners already about all the tour dates that are coming up and about the book signings, and we've got a ton of stuff. So they're all going to check out TalkingMetal.com and AceFrehley.com. And I know, Ace, that this upcoming book and rock and roll tour, the No Regrets Tour, are going to be amazing, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, thanks, John. Thanks so much, Mark.
You bet. Thank you, Ace. We appreciate it.
Okay, you guys have a good night. I'll talk to you, John.
Okay, take care, Ace.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. We're going to hear another Ace track right now. This is Genghis Khan.
Thank you.
We're back with Talking Metal Live. Mark.
Thank you.
John.
Great interview with Ace. And by the way, Mark, we got some breaking news out of that interview. Some of the cool stuff about what Ace is planning for future recordings. And
I mean, if he were to go back and somehow bake these tapes and get that.
Yeah, I've seen his tapes. And Ace is amazing. People might not know this, but Ace is a guy who has everything that's ever been of value. And it's all, you know, away in safe places. And it's going to be great. Ace, just like when you guys see the book, you're going to be like, how did anybody have these photos, if, for example? And there are pictures all the way from Ace's infant baby picture up until today. And,
wow.
And it's amazing. And everything in between that you can think of. And wait till you see it. I'm going to show it to you after the show. You've seen the book, but basically I'll show you like all the details. And it's great. Ace has just a great collection of amazing stuff. And it all came out in this book. And actually, I'm going to tell you that's not true, because there's so much stuff that we had to really edit it down. And I'm sure that there's enough material to write 10 books, and there's enough photos and enough cool stuff to just keep it going. So it's just great. And I'm just so psyched and honored to be part of the project.
Cool. Well,
By the way, I signed my first autographs on the book.
Oh, yeah. You got to sign one for my brother.
I will. Absolutely. Not everybody who, the certain people who write this Rock and Trot convention had the opportunity to get a advanced copy of the book. And, you know, I didn't broadcast that I was the guy that was on the cover of the book. But a few
which
people,
you are, which I feel like some of the press releases, no offense to the book company, but haven't been mentioning you. I don't know.
Well, you know what? They will. Basically, let me tell you what's the deal with that. There is everybody's using the original press release that came out to, like, you know, when Ace got the book deal, and they've got a new press release ready right now, and it's ready to come out as soon as like the book is released. So all the articles that you see about the book are pulling information from that 2-year-old or 1-year-old or however long it was press release, and it doesn't mention me. And the reason is because I came into the project, you know, about midway through. And there's going to be a new press release, but I'm tweaking it myself, because if you read the flap of the book, which it's out right now, and I'll read it to you, just because I'll tell you what the funny thing is, just in case they don't fix this, I want to go on record. On the flap of the book, which is technically not out, but there's advanced copies floating around, it says, John Ostrowski is the co-host of Talking Metal and a guest interviewer on MTV2's Headbangers Ball. A Berklee alumnus, he has performed with musicians, including members of the Rolling Stones. Sorry, guys.
Fucking Keith Richards,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no. I mean, the Ramones and Twisted Sister. And the original press release that Simon & Schuster wrote, I don't know why they didn't just copy that, but it says, John, a Berklee alumnus, is in the Rolling Stones.
He's
in the Rolling Stones. No, it said, a Berklee alumnus. I'm just so happy we had a great interview with Ace that I can't actually speak.
I am too. Yeah.
Anyway, it said,
You're in the Rolling Ramones.
Yeah, it implied that I was in the Ramones and or Twisted Sister. And so I said, no. I said to Simon & Schuster, you got to change that. I said, I was not in the Ramones or Twisted Sister, but I played with members of the Ramones and Twisted Sister. So then what they did was the new version that I just saw today that said, John played with musicians, including the Ramones and Twisted Sister. So that's still wrong. I've got to change it to including members of the Ramones and Twisted Sister. And I just picked those two bands because they're both from New York. And
can you please handle your business off air?
Yeah, I'm saying that. And just in case this press release comes out and then 50 people on Blabbermouth are saying, this guy was never in the Ramones. But anyway, it's pretty funny. And it just goes to show you that, it's just these things go through like 5 million people have like a say in this kind of stuff. And some of them, you know, aren't 100% up to speed on who was who and what band and everything. And I'm sure the person who was writing it, you know, didn't intend to make any errors, but we've got to correct that.
Yeah. Well, big congratulations to Ace, not only on the book, but, Well, to Ace and you, yeah.
Thank you, thank you. I'm saying thank you. I thought you were congratulating me.
Well, congratulations to you for co-writing this book with Ace. Congratulations to Ace for getting the book out and 5 years sober. That is that's
yeah,
excellent.
It's a big deal. And Ace didn't make a big fuss over it when it happened, and it was just a private event. You know, there were no press releases going out. Ace really is sober for 5 years, but it's a really cool thing, and, you know, Ace is better than ever, and he's going to continue to rock the world. One of the ideas that Ace had that he spoke about before is re-recording some of his old classics.
Right.
Which I think would be cool. Some people that
like
I've talked to.
New people or guests?
You know, kind of like updating the sound of them. And then that was the guest star thing is something that I haven't even told Ace, but I'm sure he's thought of it. But some really cool people who you know have suggested stuff like maybe you get Dave Grohl to come and sing a song that,
right.
you know,
yeah,
was his favorite Ace track. And you know, you bring in the guy from Pearl Jam who was an Ace fan, and you know, you update the songs with special guests. That's an idea. I haven't even told that to Ace, but I'm sure he's thought of it.
Yeah, cool. I like that idea. But yeah, exciting news that he could possibly maybe release some vintage old stuff from the vaults. I love that stuff, and that would be a real treat for any Ace fan, I'm sure. Yeah, so I guess we'll wrap it up. I don't know. I had like some random
Let's go for a couple minutes. Yeah, I'm just getting in, so I'm just getting into the swing
of
things.
Oh, okay. All right.
Talking metal style, you know?
Talking metal style, yeah. So
let's just talk about what's going on. So what have you been up to, Mark?
Oh, just working two jobs basically this week, and then I'm going to class, as I mentioned, tomorrow, while simultaneously,
working two jobs.
Yeah, so it's... It wasn't the best week to go to class, but originally I'm freelance now, so my work comes and goes. And originally I thought I was off this week, so I signed up to take a Final Cut Pro class, Final Cut Pro 10. Big scandal about this new version of Final Cut, which you can read about online. But anyways, I'm trying to learn it. I'm trying to give it a chance and go into a 3-day, you know, 8 hours a day for 3 days
right.
straight, which I paid for out of my pocket.
Wow.
And I paid quite a bit of money for this class. And then suddenly I was basically told, we need you. You have to work on this
wow.
gig. I said, well, I have a class. They were like, well, we don't care. You know, go to the class, but make the gig happen for us. So it's a little stressful, man.
Yeah. What school are you going to?
Because it's Manhattan. It's called Manhattan Editing Workshop School.
Yeah, that's the same kind of class that I had for Dreamweaver, which was a 3-day intense course on one particular program.
Right.
It was Dreamweaver 5.5, which is the new version. And just like, I know the metal people don't care about this, but just like, you know, Final Cut threw in some new ways of doing things, Dreamweaver did the same thing like a couple of versions ago. So I need to learn the new way. And that's one of the, you know, the new astronomy site might look basic, but basically I'm trying to do things
right.
the new way.
Yeah. It's funny. Like I've been trying to cut promos. I mean, I'm a producer writer for the most part, but I have been trying to cut promos using this new Final Cut 10. Cause I did cut some promos that went on air on certain networks using Final Cut 7. In general, I work with an editor, but I actually, just for the hell of it, I cut a promo for this company. Just they didn't even ask me to do it. I just did it to play around and
right.
try to learn the software. And it's so radically different. Like I said, there's a lot of uproar. People are mad at Apple. You can go online and search this Final Cut Pro X versus Final Cut 7, the old version. It's a complete rewrite. It's not an upgrade. And people are pissed. I mean, you know, we recently lost Steve Jobs, who changed, you know, the face of computers, if you will. But, you know, there are also, you know, a lot of people are saying great things about Apple. And I love Apple, but there's also a lot of people that are pissed off about certain things, including this Final Cut program.
Yeah. And
that turtleneck he always wore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs invented Breakout, by the way, the Atari.
Are you serious?
The
I didn't know that.
Second game I got on Atari. First game was Combat. It came with Atari. And
right.
then Steve Jobs, he was working for Atari, and he invented Breakout.
I did not know that.
That was his pet project at Atari.
Totally did not know that. And I am so psyched because that was my first ever favorite games that I played for the first time at the Alpine Inn.
Oh. There you go.
Winthrop, Pennsylvania.
Invented by Steve Jobs.
That's amazing. And guess what I got, guys? Okay, one, I got an iPad. And two, I got this thing called the iCade. And it's, if you look up iCade on the internet, it's a small arcade-style cabinet that was intended to be an April Fool's joke. And you put your iPad in it, and it has a joystick and arcade-style buttons. And you can, and Atari has released like this package, this big app that you can buy for like, you get one game free. And then if you want every Atari game, practically every made, it's like $15. But you can even play like the old Atari 2600 games. So it's really a neat thing. And you can play like Asteroids and stuff. But I bought that.
Cool. Well, dude, I think we're going to wrap it up now. I know you feel like you're just getting swinging and things, just joining us. But it is 10:15. So thinking of playing a couple more songs and maybe
play a couple more songs and call it a night.
Okay,
right?
you want to come back and say goodbye, or should we just?
Yeah, I
do
think
it
we
now?
Should come back and say. Well, here's the deal. How about we talk for another 5 minutes, and then we play the songs, and then
that's cool.
And,
yeah.
I just want to ask you, who have you seen lately, metal wise? Let's bring it back to metal.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast tonight on the last podcast, I did
Caius
see.
Lives.
Yeah, I did see Judas Priest at the Fallon show. I was there for the sound check and actually said hello to Rob and had a nice conversation with Glenn Tipton, who was actually much nicer than he was when we interviewed him at Jones Beach.
Wow.
And I really feel that every time I interview somebody before a gig,
they're not that great.
Right. The same with Biff Byford recently. I caught up with him a couple days ago. Actually, it was during the day. To interview him from Saxon, of course, and he was so nice, and it was like on an off day from the tour, and when we interviewed, I guess you weren't, when I interviewed him at BB King's a couple years back before a show, it was again the before the show thing. We should probably start to avoid that.
You know what? Let me tell you why. I agree 100%, because now that I am out there with Ace on tour dates, I know how hectic it is before shows. So I feel bad because now, media outlets come to me to ask to interview Ace. What I usually do is tell them that we're going to work it out for something on a day other than a show day. And I now realize like that Talking Metal has been probably driving people crazy for 6 years.
Right?
Yeah. And it's this is not Ace saying this. This is me saying this because I just know how hard my job is on a day of a show. And, you know, you can imagine how hard it is for Ace because he's the guy playing the show. So it's even hard for me to work out an interview with Ace before an actual gig. So, being on the other side of these interview things is definitely kind of a neat experience, and I'm really glad I, you know, have experienced it. And I think it will only help Talking Metal because now we'll know when the right time it is to interview these people.
Yes, definitely. Caius Lives, I did see. I may go see them. They're funny enough, they're doing another gig, which
I thought, in
Montclair, New Jersey, of all places, and. Right. It appears that might be the last gig of the tour, which could potentially be Nick Oliveri's last gig before he serves an 18-year prison sentence.
So did he get sentenced to 18 years?
No, but he could potentially get that. He could. Who knows? He could get off altogether. I kind of doubt that because, you know, even if the girl dismisses the charges, it still took a SWAT team to bring him out. And they found drugs. Yeah. So that right there, it's like they're going to throw the book at him. She does drop the charges, I don't know that she has or that she will. I'm just speculating. That's usually what happens. But Caius Lives, such a great show, and I think I mentioned this in a previous episode. They didn't play their biggest song, Demon Cleaner, which I thought was kind of odd. But besides that, such a great show, which Nick didn't originally play on Demon Cleaner, but they were playing other songs off of Sky Valley, so I would have thought that they would have played that, but they didn't. That's that.
I hope for the best in that situation.
Yeah, I'm as far as gigs go, I'm considering going to see Guns in a couple weeks, although I just don't know. I mean, this late night thing, it's worrying me a bit. Don't know.
Did you see the YouTube video where Axl was getting out of a car to yell at someone? It was reported to be Axl.
No, I saw where he's talking about Slash, and he had He didn't know. I don't know if he knew he was being shot, but these fans, he had a bottle of Jack. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
He was talking about it. Not, he wasn't drinking it. He was like talking about the Jack, and then he started talking about Slash and how Slash wet his bed, which Slash admits to in the book.
Right, right.
But
and even
Axl
in
said he
book,
Axl
it
goes,
talks about that.
Yeah, Axl says, Slash did it a lot more than he admits to in his book. So basically, in the clip, Axl admits that he read
Slash's book,
which is kind of funny. But the thing with guns, it's like I still love them, and I think I love Chinese Democracy more than Axl does personally. But it's like, I don't know, like some of the mystique is gone now. There isn't this like vault of unreleased stuff that
right.
we're wondering about, you know. And it's like I feel like. Something's got to happen. He's got to come out and say, I'm doing a new record. I'm going to, you know, he's got to get people excited again.
Right.
And maybe they are. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not
maybe
as excited.
Maybe we're jaded because yeah. of talking metal and everything. But.
I do want to see the show, but it's like now I'm like so fucking tired all the time. It's like, right. I don't know if I want to be standing in the fucking Meadowlands until 12 midnight,
yeah,
you know,
then,
to see him come on and then be like falling over at 2:30 by the time
I was
fucking in.
I was literally almost falling over from just being tired last night just because I didn't even come home last night. I was supposed to be home last night after the Rock and Shot convention in the Worcester area, but I wound up just staying in a hotel in the New York area and then just going to work because I was just fried. I was just like so tired. And actually, that was two nights ago. And then last night, I finally did stay home, and it looked like I was robbed. My Kiss Gold and Platinum records were falling off the wall. I don't know what happened. I don't think anybody robbed me, but I think the hinges came undone and one fell and it knocked the other one down and one of the nameplates fell off of one of them. I mean, I thought for a second when I walked in, I thought I got robbed.
Wow.
But I didn't. It was just like a freak thing because it was crazy. But anyway, yeah, I'm having a good time. And I have to say that I had a blast seeing some of these metal groups.
Yeah, good for you, man.
You know, and you know me, it's hard to go to concerts nowadays because, you know, people don't understand this if I think unless you live in the New York area, but it's just the ordeal of getting to work and going home and all the little things in between can just wipe you out.
Right.
Isn't that true?
Do you feel like man, that? It's like when your life is so complicated with work and you know, your personal life and, you know, I mean, you're working numerous jobs, you know,
you have a family.
Yeah, I'm working numerous jobs. I got a family. It's like, I live, you know, I don't live in the city. It's like, it's, you know, it's life definitely can be complicated. I do look forward to a day when I can start maybe going to more shows again. But I feel like on the show front, I've been kind of slacking this last couple
years. I'm always
slacking. Yeah, I mean, we both have plenty of legitimate excuses. But yeah, hopefully we can catch some shows. I'd love to check out this Guns show with you. And
that'd
maybe
be great.
I love the old hair, you know, I hate to call it hair metal, but
yeah,
I love all that old shit,
too.
You know, so I love seeing bands like Cinderella when they come through town. So I hope we can maybe catch some more of that and get some more of those guys on the podcast. I mean, let's really target those guys because
right.
that's such great stuff. I know Stephen Piercy was supposed to call in at one point a couple months ago and he never did. So maybe we can try to get him on.
Yeah.
Biff from Saxon, that interview's
great.
In the can. We're going to have that to you shortly. And hey, let's end with some, remember White Lion? Let's end it with
yes,
a little White
absolutely.
Lion.
Absolutely. I know those guys.
Really? Which guy?
Yeah, I know all of those guys.
Wow.
James Lomenzo, I know a lot because he was both in White Lion and he was in Ace's band for a while. And I know Vito Bratta, the guitar player. And I don't really know Mike Tramp, but those other two guys I know.
Cool.
And Craig D'Angelo was the drummer. I don't really know him as well, but you know, that was a New York group except for Mike Tramp. And they opened up for Ace.
Staten Island, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, Brooklyn, Staten Island.
And they opened up for Ace on the first like major Fraley's Comet tour.
Ah, very interesting.
So that was a cool thing.
Cool. And Bud Friendly, it looks like he's about to go home.
Yes,
Bud Friendly.
You already
Bud
checked
Friendly's
out.
Bud Friendly's mask is slightly off. I can see the bottom.
Askew, slightly askew.
Slightly askew.
Drool coming out of his mouth. Anyways, this is Lady of the Valley. Remember that one?
I do. But before we even play it, I just want to thank Ace for coming on.
Yeah, definitely. Big thanks to Ace. Support this guy. Go buy his book, No Regrets.
And if you see me out on the road, guys, make sure you come up and say hello. Most of you guys have been doing it, which is great.
Punch him in the nuts.
Yeah, do not do that. But I have to tell you that there might be a couple of shows that I I will unfortunately have to miss for the first time since I started working with Ace, and that's only due to some scheduling conflicts. But I'm going to probably be at almost every gig except maybe two.
All right. Good.
So
cool. Well, I'm hoping to check the Ace show out.
Absolutely.
Next week, 2 weeks in.
Yeah, October 25th and 26th at BB King's in New York. And then, guys, there are assorted other dates
next week
surrounding that in Asbury
Park. Actually, I was actually looking November 5th in Asbury Park.
Yeah, Asbury Park is going to be good. Yeah, I'll tell you, if you come to any one of these other ones, like, you're going to have probably a better experience just because New York's going to be so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking about November 5th, actually. Yeah. I'll let you know. I got to talk to my wife.
Just for you guys, Asbury Park, I'll name some of the cities in case you're listening. Asbury Park, Long Island, there's going to be a gig in Atlantic City, two gigs in
Asbury Park's a Saturday, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm really thinking that maybe ditching the New York show and going to that one.
Yeah, there's going to be gigs up in Foxborough, Massachusetts. We're going to do a gig even before that in Nashua, New Hampshire. And then, the Halloween's Foxborough. And then there's Chicago. There's Cleveland a day or two before that. And then Minneapolis and Milwaukee or Minneapolis. And then great gig casino in Green Bay. So it's just going to be an awesome time. And then, guys, I'm going to wind up posting all these signings on acerally.com. So there's going to be signings in cities that there aren't even gigs, like Philadelphia, probably San Diego, maybe Phoenix, L.A., definitely New York, Barnes & Noble, Bookends in Ridgewood, New Jersey. So stay tuned to acerally.com because I'm going to get all that stuff up there. And you guys got to come out. You're going to love it. It's going to be rocking.
Cool. This is White Lion. Thanks, John, for hooking the Ace interview up for Talking Metal tonight. Check out TalkingMetal.com. Make a donation. Support us. Listen to the streams on Live 365 on TalkingMetal.com. And that's that. This is White Lion, Lady of the Valley.
lady.